So good morning to all of you. My name is Mathilde Frey. I am a PhD candidate at Andrews University, but currently I'm teaching at the IAS Institute in the Philippines. So I have a long journey behind myself. The title of my presentation is The Creation Sabbath, Theological Intentionality of the Concept of Holiness in the Pentateuch. Holiness makes its entrance into the world through the Sabbath. For the first time in the Hebrew Bible, the verb kadash appears in the account of the seventh day of creation. Separating and setting this day apart from the other days, God's act of separation, however, already begins on the first day and continues throughout the 6 weekdays. Each one of the 6 weekdays concludes with an emphatic expression, God saw that it was good, which could also be rendered, God saw how good it was. The 6 formulaic expressions are marked by 6 occurrences of a small Hebrew word, the emphatic particle ki, of translated that or because. Often overlooked in exegetical studies of Genesis 1, this small particle carries an important meaning in the account of the 7 days of creation. For it is particularly on the 7th day when the text uses the particle ki for the 7th time. In order to make a very different statement about the 7th day when compared to the other days. He, God, sanctified it because in it he ceased. It is this small particle that suddenly connects 2 verbs that seem to be far removed from each other in their meaning. Shabbat, the verb to cease or to rest from work, and the verb kadash, be sanctified, set apart. These 2 verbs are placed into a cause and effect relationship by the particle ki that occurs only in Genesis 2, verse 3 in the Hebrew Bible. Other Sabbath texts will use the noun Shabbat to identify the 7-day Sabbath and then state that the Sabbath is a day sanctified by the Lord. The irrationality of Sabbath holiness. The observation about the cause and effect relationship of the verb Shabbat and Kadash is important, first because the verb Shabbat occurs also in texts other than dealing with the 7-day Sabbath. Second, because only in close relationship to each other the verbs Shabbat and Kadash seem to give meaning to the 7th day. And third, because there seems to be no logical reasoning behind the link of Shabbat and Kadash. At least no reasoning that would sound logical to our mind. Throughout the 6 weekdays, there is a rationale that we might understand. The particle ki expressed the logic of a good outcome of God's creational acts. The connection, however, between ceasing and sanctification does not operate according to the cause and effect principle of the world that we know of. I would like to argue that behind the link of the verbs Shabbat and Kadash, there is a kind of logic that belongs exclusively to the divine. Thus, with regard to the 7th occurrence of ki on the 7th day, the argument of holiness is entirely new, surprising, and solely based on God's will. The 7-day Sabbath is sanctified by purpose and not by the principle of cause and effect. The verb kadash does not imply to be a result of Shabbat that is logical to the human mind, but evidence of another logic outside of this world that the biblical text argues for intentionally. Therefore, the specific language and structure of the Genesis 1 creation account show that the account of the 7th day is not a theological appendix to the creation account added later in time as some scholars view it. Rather, by revealing that the Sabbath is the purpose of all creation, the text initiates the concept and theology of holiness in the Hebrew Bible. The fact that the 2 verbal roots occur together only in texts concerned with the Sabbath demonstrates that the verbs Shabbat and Kadash have a direct relationship to each other that is intended by the author. It shows further that these verbs need to be studied together in order to grasp the meaning of the creation Sabbath, as well as the meaning of other Sabbath texts in the Hebrew Bible. The link between Shabbat and Kadosh may even be a guiding principle in understanding the whole concept of holiness, specifically with regard to the sanctuary, its complex ministries and laws. So what is the rationale for Sabbath holiness? God ceasing on the seventh day seems at first to be unnecessary because God already finished his creational work with the conclusion of the sixth day. On the other hand, it seems necessary in order to set a finishing mark to the whole of the creation week. The paradox that is included in the question above may allow us to think differently and to look for the answer that speaks of the illogic argument, of the argument that does not fit into the new created world, far less into the world polluted by sin. When God ceased, holiness came into the world. As already mentioned before, the statement of the causal clause, which provides the reason for the sanctification of the seventh day, comes as a surprise to the reader because it does not present a logical argument, but the exclusive will of God. Nowhere else in the Hebrew Bible is there an explicit reason provided for holiness. In numerous other texts, holiness is A. presented as an attribute of God and his character. B. it is required for the human being in order to have a close relationship with the holy God. And C. places and objects are made holy specifically in connection with the sanctuary. In all of these cases mentioned, holiness is mainly understood to be an implication of God's presence and his relationship with the human being. But in no case is there a reason provided that explains the cause for holiness in our world, except for the sanctification of the seventh-day Sabbath. This fact implies that the concept of holiness, which is developed in great detail in subsequent texts of the Pentateuch and includes all aspects of life in relation to God, is closely related to the creation Sabbath. Therefore, the task of biblical theology to understanding holiness in the Pentateuch and in the Hebrew Bible needs to start from the basic argument of the Sabbath. The creation account presents the sanctification of the seventh day as the goal upon which God focused already throughout the weekdays. Throughout the six weekdays, the focus particle key emphasized six times God's own surprise and delight when looking at his work. The sixth day then concludes with the exclamation, "God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good." Now, in the account of the seventh day, one would expect to find an even more heightened exclamation, such as, "God ceased, and behold, it was exceedingly good." But the Sabbath is not regarded as good, very good, or even exceedingly good. It is holy, because God ceased in it. What is the goal of Sabbath holiness? In general, when Old Testament studies explore the word holy or the concept of holiness, they locate themselves between Exodus 25 and Numbers 36, where most of the occurrences of the Hebrew Kadosh are found. However, the first place where the word occurs and where the reason for holiness is provided is the seventh-day Sabbath in Genesis 2, verse 3. He sanctified it because he ceased or rested on the seventh day from all his work. So the creation Sabbath is the first realm in the created world to be sanctified. Three foundational works on the concept of holiness have so far influenced biblical theology. Nathan Söderblom's article on holiness in the Encyclopedia of Religion and Ethics, Rudolf Otto's The Idea of the Holy, and Mircea Eliade's The Sacred and the Profane. None of these works starts out with the biblical concept of holiness as it is introduced in Genesis 2, verse 3. According to Söderblom, holiness is the great word in religion. It is even more essential than the notion of God. Real religion may exist without a definite conception of divinity, according to Söderblom. Otto identified the holy with the numinous, the holy other, the mysterium tremendum, in whose presence the human being stands in radical fear. And according to Eliade, the sacred is equivalent to a power, to reality, to being, and a religious man deeply desires to be, to participate in reality, to be saturated with power. While these ideas may be true for religion in general and are often used as foundational ideas for holiness in the biblical text, I believe they do not do justice to the biblical concept of holiness as it comes into the world on the seventh day of creation. In the biblical context, holiness seems to be a direct result of the manifestation of divine presence. This conception of holiness expresses the distinctively scriptural perception of God as both transcendent and immanent in his relationship with the world. The first element that the text of the seven-day Sabbath conveys is that God is the only being in view on this day. No others are mentioned in the text. Even though man and woman are already created, they are absent in the text of the seventh day. There is only God and the day. This exclusive presence of God on the seventh day adds a mysterious element to the act of sanctification. However, Sabbath holiness, understood in terms of separation, functions as the foundation and preservation of life on earth. God, who creates life by the principle of separation, seems to found the seventh day, the embodiment of separation, in order to preserve life on earth. Furthermore, Sabbath holiness, understood in terms of the principle of separation, that preserves life on earth, is a positive concept established for the sake of life and relationship. Milgram sums this up well when he points out that holiness means not only separation from, but separation to. It is a positive concept, an inspiration and a goal associated with God's nature and his desire for man. Thus, the notion of holiness as a principle of separation for the sake of life and relationship begins with the creation Sabbath. Even though the passage of the seventh day does not mention the human beings created on the sixth day, the reader cannot forget God's astonishing desire for relationship when he exclaimed, "Let us make man as our image, according to our likeness." Therefore, on the seventh day, God not only establishes a pattern for life, to be imitated by man. Rather, God places himself within this day by sanctifying it for the sake of an open access between him and humanity. In other words, God makes himself available to humanity, even to all creation. Thus, sanctified time is what makes possible life on earth and humanity's relationship with the Creator. Within this context, Westermann's word of mankind standing before God makes perfect sense. The meaning is that mankind is created so that something can happen between God and man. Mankind is created to stand before God. Sabbath holiness is related to life and is brought into the world to be in service of man and not man in service of the Sabbath, of Sabbath or Sabbath holiness. And that sounds much like Jesus' remarkable word, "The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath." How does Sabbath holiness serve its purpose in the world? The question now arises, how does the Hebrew Bible develop the principle of Sabbath holiness after its initiation in creation times? This question poses, I believe, an insurmountable problem. Shortly after the first Sabbath, sin enters the world, and it seems as if the Sabbath disappears from the pages of the Bible, at least for a large part of the Pentateuch that tells of the patriarchal times. In the following section, I would like to provide observations and some suggestions that are in need for further study and research in order to arrive at a deeper understanding of the concept of holiness in our time. First, the first three chapters of the Bible contain three different narratives that seem to belong together, even though many scholars divide and describe these texts to different sources. With regard to the description of the perfect garden in Genesis 2 and the description of the fall in Genesis 3, these narratives need to be studied from the perspective of the completed creation, as it is described in Genesis 1, that put forth the principle of holiness entering the world on the Sabbath. It seems that only from the perspective of the completed creation, the perfect garden in Genesis 2 makes sense. And the fall in Genesis 3 displays the full drama of sin and death. The arrangement of these three narratives in the Hebrew Bible seems to convey theological truth and intentionality that would not become visible if the narratives would tell the stories differently or in a different order. I would like to concentrate on Genesis 3. While in Genesis 1, holiness entered the world, now sin and death make their destructive entrance. Holiness, which cannot exist together with sin and death, now needs to be protected. Genesis 3, however, also provides the plan for the kind of protection that holiness will need in a world full of sin and death. Holiness will come extremely close to the deadly bruise, and mankind will bear the results of sin. And it seems that death will almost prevail. The mystery of holiness, however, that we recognized on the Sabbath of creation by God's sole presence, appears again. God, who sanctified the seventh day in order to relate to and communicate freely with the human beings, is left lonely, without mankind that he longed for in the beginning. Holiness, however, seems to have no purpose in itself without the one who stands at the opposite side, the one of whom Westermann said, ein Gegenüber. Holiness longs for the relationship with man despite his nakedness, fearfulness, and shamefulness. Holiness enters the world breaking through. Mankind does not understand such mystery. Naked, afraid, and ashamed, we only gaze with overwhelming amazement at the robe paid with the price of life. And that is how Sabbath holiness serves mankind. Number two, long chapters pass by in the Pentateuch until Sabbath holiness becomes again a major theme. The people of Israel are liberated, and with amazement they witness day by day the cloud of glory and the manna, and every seventh day the people hear the invitation calling out, "Eat it today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field." Today is called the Shabbaton Shabbat Kadosh Ladonai, the Sabbath of complete rest, holy to the Lord. It seems as if holiness has long longed for this regular opportunity to enter and serve the regular life of mankind. From now on, it will stay. The sanctuary would be built with curtains folded over at the doors so that access would be possible. The link that Exodus 16 establishes between the manna, the Sabbath, and the sanctuary is not just a cultic institution designed for the people of Israel in the wilderness of sin, but it needs to be seen as theologically anticipated. It suggests that the sanctuary services are characterized by the creation Sabbath because these services function on the basis of the weekly rhythm of the seventh-day Sabbath. In addition, the sanctuary services obtain their own meaning from the Sabbath as the day of the Creator God who dwells in his sanctuary to meet with Israel on the Sabbath in a special way. The life-providing aspect of the Sabbath in close connection with the bread given by the Creator God seems to have caused Moses later on to speak to the new generation of Israel shortly before they entered Canaan about the manna experience of their fathers. "Man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord." In conclusion, Sabbath, no other day, contains God's full presence. Abraham Heschel alludes to such presence that was intended and designed to fill time rather than space. There is no quality that space has in common with the essence of God. There is not enough freedom on the top of the mountain, there is not enough glory in the silence of the sea, yet the likeness of God can be found in time. While the verb Shabbat characterizes the seventh day as being solely God's day because of the absence of any objects of creation, the verb Kadash identifies the seventh day with God's exclusive presence. The Sabbath, holy to the Lord, emerges out of God's own desire to be fully available to the created world. The desire of his presence is man, the other, the one made as him. Canale points out that it is the relational character of God who makes room for the other. Creation, or more specifically the creation Sabbath, thus becomes the necessary condition for the possibility of God's relationship with creatures. God's presence within the time of the Sabbath is relational in essence. It has the potential to bring the human being into the reality of God's presence. Dukan points out that the Sabbath was designed to become the place of encounter between God the Creator and man the creature, the occasion for this vertical relationship. Thank you very much.